Right, we're teaching on this subject called living in the supernatural. And today we want to teach on a subject called greater works. Greater works, yes. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. All right. We have some interesting things for you today. And I'd just like you to really get your receivers on. Because I'm going to preach it, and what you have to do is receive it. We started talking on this subject because what we are saying is that we're coming into a time when earthly knowledge is not enough. The Bible talks in the book of James about the wisdom of this world. And it's from the earth. And in the wisdom that's from this world, they might come up with things, but they have such side effects. In other words, the Industrial Revolution brought pollution. Or you can take some medication, but you have to understand the side effects is that your kidney may shut down. So I'm just saying that we're coming into a place where we're even running out of that. That we're coming to where this idea about the law of sin and death is working. The Bible talks about it over in Romans chapter 8. It says that this whole idea about, let me just read it for you. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation, verse 1, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Two laws. One is the law of sin and death. The other one is the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there's a death cycle. When the woman said, who was down in Zarephath, she said, I only have one more meal left that me and the boy are going to eat this and we shall die. She was in a death cycle. In other words, in that death cycle, you can't get out of it naturally. There's a cycle. There's a spiritual reason for that happening. That's why he says, as you read on down here, he says in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is groaning, the Bible says over here in verse 22. It's groaning. Under the weight of sin. There's a death cycle. A curse has been loosed in the earth. And what is it doing? It's taking the earth back to chaos. See? I mean, you'd think that with all the technology that we've got in terms of how to do things, that you can do things with a little less confusion. But I mean, with all the technology they're using in airline booking reservations, you still got confusion here. And you're trying to figure out, now, what's going on here? I mean, I don't understand it. So my point to you is that the agent behind this is not something natural. It's something on another plane, spiritual. And that what we called it was a season of the supernatural, that we're going into a place where the church is going to be needed. And people are seeking and groaning under this thing. They call it global warming and all these kinds of things, all these names people give to things. But how many of you know you don't have to plant weeds? You don't have to plant them. The earth is under a curse. If you don't tend to that garden, weeds will come up and you'll try to figure out where they came from. That's the curse working. So, because of Adam's treason, he set this law of sin and death into operation. Now, you and I have the blessing on our lives. Glory to God. That God came back, and that blessing came back through Noah, Abraham, and we have the blessing of Abraham on our lives. The spiritual part of that came through Jesus. Because God never gave up on the Eden mandate. He never gave up on what he said to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Never gave up on that. God doesn't take his word back. Once it's out there, it won't return to him void. It's going to accomplish what it's sent out to do. So now this church is so vital because the church operates both in the physical and the spirit realm. And this church can go to a land that is desolate, a land that is in famine, a land that has been ruined, and the church, with the blessing, has the potential to make that land like the Garden of Eden. When we first came here in this village, this particular mall was run down, so forth and so on. I mean, you wouldn't hardly recognize it, what it is now. And look what God did with the church. But not only that, it affected the village. Did you hear the mayor, when he got up New Year's Eve night, saying all the other villages have laid off people, but we had to lay off nobody? Now, that's the effect of the church in that. Now, this same blessing can affect a marriage. It can take a marriage that's ruined and turn it into a garden. It can affect anything. That's the power of it. Now, what we said is that the God factor has to come into play. I said the God factor. Now, let me just cover one more thing here before I go into God factor. One of the biggest things Satan works to steal is your image. He doesn't want you to have the image of God. He didn't want you to have that. He wants you to lose that. He was after that image in Adam and Eve. And there are things that are around you out to steal your esteem, to steal your self-image, to make it so that you'll see yourself like folk see you rather than see yourself like God sees you. Now, you got what I'm saying? And that's called the image of God. And when you are in the scriptures, he says over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we, as we behold the word and we meditate that word, it changes our image into what the word says. Now that's what we got to get back to, because remember what I said, your your boundaries are from the inside. They're not from the outside. You get the right image and nobody can stop you from doing what you do. So in that, we have to stay of the Word of God and stay in the Word of God so that we can get the right image inside of us that God could use us to the degree of every place we go, we can bring it back to where God had planned for that place to be before it got ruined, before it got whatever. Bring it back under what we call the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. Set up God's government right back in that place. Now, so we look in God's word and see what God's word says about us. And we act on what God's word says in faith when it's produced in us. So as we go places or do things, we are out to change everywhere we go to transform it into heaven's reality. Everybody is searching for that. We said that everybody's searching for peace. People want joy. People are searching for prosperity. People want a place where they're not sad or feel inferior, so forth. Everybody's searching for that. Well, what is that? That's heaven. But you and I have been legally authorized and anointed to bring heaven to earth. The wherever we go. So what we talked about is the God factor. And we said with the God factor that once we believe, all things are possible. Now let's go to that. Let's go to Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. And let me know when you get there. Praise God. In Mark chapter 9, this is Jesus casting a demon out of a young boy. But Jesus is expecting them to do this. And if you look here at verse 19, well, let's read verse 18 first. I'll read it. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. This man's describing this demon's activity in his son. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. Not they would not. They could not. And Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. Glory to God. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. Jesus began to ask, how long has it been with him? In verse 23 is what we centered down on. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So if you can believe, if, that's a conditional part of that, if you can believe. So, what's possible for me is not based on what somebody else has done. But what's possible for me is based solely on whether I can believe it. It's according to the scripture here. So, there are things that God perhaps cannot do for me because I can't believe. So if I can get my believer up, then all things become possible. Turn that heat down just a little bit. So what we said, if you turn over to Mark chapter 10, please. This is a rich young ruler. He comes up to Jesus because he's seeking eternal life. Now, eternal life to me, I don't know what it is to you, But to me, it means living like God lives. Now, you and I have the same spiritual capacity as Jesus had when he walked the earth. Now, that means something, folks. Because I'm going to read a couple of verses here now. And see, when you say things like that and you say, well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And people break down to, well, you ain't righteous. No, wait a minute. I'm looking at myself the way God sees me. I'm not looking at myself the way so-and-so down the street sees me. I'm looking at myself the way God sees me. And he sees me. Jesus said, Father, show them that you love them just like you love me. Jesus said this, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus said this. Oh, the scripture says, we are joint heirs with him. That doesn't mean he gets 50% and you get 50%. It means he gets 100 and you get 100. You duplicate him. Now, you got to hear that, because if you think God has two natures, that God and you exist with two natures, you know, like you've got a nature. He said you've been made the righteousness of God. Well, some people say, well, there's none righteous, no, not one. And they go and read that out of the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. And it wasn't talking about you as a born again person. But this was referring to something else. My point to you is that in your own eyes or in your own ability, you are not righteous. There's not one. And so the Pharisees many times tried to be more righteous. My point to you is, if God made you righteous, you are not unrighteous. If righteousness has a lot to do with whether you can receive the inheritance that God has for you. If you don't feel worthy, then you can't receive it. You can't appropriate the promises of God. If you're not seeing yourself in God's class, and in God's class means I'm in fellowship with him. Me and him talk together. We walk together. Hey, I'm listening at him. He's guiding me. He's showing me what to do. This is called fellowship. If righteousness is not there, you are not placed on that level. You can't get there. And when you can't get there, you can't fellowship with him. If you can't fellowship with him, some of the intimate things that God wants with your life, you can't have. I am not trying to bring God down. I'm trying to take you up. Because you got to see yourself here. When Jesus left, he left you here. Now, we got to finish his work, but we got to have you cannot fellowship. I'm going to give you a nugget. You cannot fellowship with someone beneath you. Try it. You can't fellowship with them. You can talk with them, but you can't fellowship with them. When God made Adam, he duplicated himself. Now, you got to see yourself that way. And then when God sees you, he sees you through Christ. So that means that when you confess it, it's faithful. He's faithful to forgive it and cleanse you. So it's gone. He doesn't see that anymore. I know you did it and then you confessed it. But now because you confessed it, God didn't sit it to the side. It doesn't exist anymore. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying all of that because, and I talk a lot from experience, folks, when the best sermons are ones that apply to you. But when you start stepping into the world, God has you there for a purpose. You got what I'm saying? Now let's go to two places. Let's go to John chapter 17 and Matthew chapter 5. John chapter 17 and Matthew chapter 5. I like what Sister Gloria says, get over it. Just get over it. Now, I said something. I said, your spiritual capacity. Now, you remember when that man was a demoniac and Jesus and the disciples got to the other side? And this demoniac man was insane, ran up there, and the demon spoke to this man. You know, we know who you are, Jesus. You're the Son of God, so forth and so on. Come to torment us before the time or something. Well, the man, Jesus said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. I don't know whether that was supposed to front Jesus off. He's supposed to back up and say, oh, Lord. But legion in the Roman army was anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So the idea about 2,000 to 6,000 demons loaded in this man. Now, understand, this man was totally just supplying the body for these things. But that's how many demons were in him. And when Jesus cast them out, they went into the herd of swine feeding, and the herd of swine ran down a cliff and went off in the water and drowned. That's how many demons were in that man. Well, now that is a glimpse of your spiritual capacity. Because if he can hold that many demons, how much of the Holy Ghost can you hold? Now, if you look over here, what did I tell you? I told you John, didn't I? And I told you John chapter 17, didn't I? Well, put something right there, but let me read chapter 14 first, because this is where we're coming from. Just stay with me. Look at verse 10. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work. Who does the work? The Father does the work. Did Jesus say the Father does the work? Yes. Say amen to this. Amen. Are you taking Jesus's place now here and to finish the work? So who's doing the work? Father's doing the work. To the Son, doing the work. All right? Now, if you look at the Father doing the work, you got to renew your mind to him doing the work, and your job is to believe. No. Did you? Y'all didn't. Okay. Your job is to believe that the Father does the work. Now, I don't want you to turn anywhere because I'm coming right back to that place. That's where I got to come back to. But if the screen up here, if you would put Hebrews chapter 4 on that screen for me, I sure would appreciate it. Verse 1. He said this. Let us therefore fear. Fear means believe. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into what? Rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the what day? Seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from what? All his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my what? rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Unbelief. The rest is that you rest and he works. The rest is faith. It's faith in God. All right, let's take a few examples. Here is Joshua. God told Joshua, Joshua, see, put up that there for me, please. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. I'm coming back to where we were in John and in John 17, John 14. Just hold it right now, and I know I got to go into the other place as well. He said, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Keep going. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do how many days? 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Keep going. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straightway before him. Now let me ask you a question. Who did the work? God did the work. What did they have to do? They had to believe that God was going to do what he said. Their job was to walk around that city with the instruction of the Holy Ghost, with the instruction of God. Walk around that city. That's what their job was. Their job was not to get involved in something over here that took almighty strength and nobody in their natural strength could pull it down. Their job was not that. Their job was to believe that God was going to do his job. All they had to do was obey God and enter into his rest. That's all they had to do. And that's all you got to do. For any situation that you've got that is too strong for you, what you do is step back. You've got one called the Holy Ghost, who is your teacher, your guide, your helper, and everything. That promise belongs to you. God wants you to have it. He's about to give you instructions of how to enter into his rest. Makes no difference. Yes, sir. God is constantly trying to show you that in the end, he wants you to say, look what God did. He wants to make you a trophy, a sign and a symbol of how good he is. He said over there in Deuteronomy 28, he said that all the nations of the earth shall see. Let's see if that's the one. That shall. Yeah. All the nations, 28, all the nations of the earth shall. I want to give you this. This is extremely important because I want you to get out of self. I want you to, he said this, the Lord shall establish you a holy people who walk in his way. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you call by the name of the Lord. See, he had, and I learned this when I was down in Texas a few days ago. Noah had 3 kids, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Those 3 represented the 3 major people group segments. In other words, one of them, Shem, I think, went to the European, the Japheth went to Asia, and Ham went to Africa. Three areas. Right in the center of that is Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem were covenant people. And as these people travel through to get to different places, they're going to have to go through Jerusalem. But in Jerusalem, they're going to see a people who are operating like a trophy. They're going to see people who serve God and what God will do for them. And people need to see your life and see how God has blessed you. Folks, what separates you from the world? Lord have mercy. That, you know, certain people think, and we've come to things, and nothing wrong with this now, so I'm not coming down on anybody. But you don't separate from the world because you don't wear makeup. I better come over here. You have a choice to do whatever you do. But people think, sir, if they could just wear something down to their feet and no makeup, they're going to separate from the world. What separates you from the world is the blessing. Now, true enough, you're not going to get up and live like a dog or anything like that. But I'm letting you know that's what the Pharisees didn't preach. They preached the law. But Jesus came preaching the blessing. What separates you from it is for them to see your God manifesting through you. See, Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. That's the vine keeper. And you are the what? Branches. Where do fruit grow? On the branch. On the branch. He wants the world to see the fruit of righteousness on the branches of the tree, which is the church. He wants them to see that you are not broke, not sick, not mad, not condemned. He wants all them fruit to be showing in your life, and they gonna want to eat it. All right, let's, Lord have mercy. How about Judges? How about Judges now? He told Gideon, Gideon said, well, if God be with us, where are all the miracles? He said, the miracles are not there. I'm transposing now in my own translating. Because you haven't obeyed God. They left God. Say God factor. Now, what I'm preaching, some folk may not agree with. But that's why the miracles haven't taken place. It's hard to get miracles out of the law. We just read it out of Galatians. Nobody can dispute the Bible. It's right in the Bible. So what happened now is, I forgot where I was. Let's see. What did I say? Gideon. So look what God did. He told Gideon, I'm going to use you to set Israel free. Go out and get some men. How many did he get? 33,000. Did God let him use 33,000? No. God said, you got too many for me. You don't have too many for you. But you got too many for me. So Gideon then, he told Gideon what to do. You know, tell him what battle you're going to fight. And then they're going to cry and want to go home to mama. And Gideon did that. And they all were left but 10,000. Gideon thought that was surely enough. Because he got to fight thousands of men. Well, what did God tell him still? You've got too many for me. See, God does not want you or your experience or your status or your education. He doesn't want anything to take credit for what he's about to do in your life. Thank God for your status. Thank God for your education. But don't be trying to pump that up to God, because God can work beyond what you ever been taught. Is this making sense to you? Now, I'm coming right where you are now, because I'm not trying to demean education or whatever have you. Thank God for it. But God wants him to get the glory. See, when he holds you up, he wants you to show people that you got there because you trusted him. You didn't get there because of what you worked out. You're a self-made somebody. Is this making sense to you? Now, let's look at John. And John, oh, I'm telling you, what time is it? Am I out of time? Okay, I don't see any more time back there. Okay, flow. Boy, they're getting belligerent. I better go ahead and keep flowing here. Look at David. Look at David. Notice what David did. He came right to that front line, and this is what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This is a young boy. And notice what they did. They took him right to Saul. David worked his way up to Saul. He said, I slayed a lion and a bear with my bare hands, and I can take this big guy. Saul said, here, put this on, because how are you going to beat him? And he's been trained in war from his youth. In other words, he's got a PhD in war. Now, how are you going to beat him? David beat him with a slingshot. He beat him with the most primitive. Come on now. My point to you is, if you got God, you got victory. Boy, that came from the Holy Ghost. But notice David gave all the credit to God. When the Philistine came at him, David, he said, who are you, you little whatever? And David said, wait a minute, hold on. He said that, boy, I need them scriptures up there. I'm going to put it in my own words. He said, you came to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in one name, the name of the God of Israel. This day, boy, y'all better stop before I shout. This day shall God deliver you into my hand. Boy, I'm telling you, we are getting to a place where God wants to come out of the closet. Because we've been trying to keep him kind of sealed up, you know. But we need to walk in a place and say, this day, the Lord told me. Now, they might laugh at you, but they won't laugh long when they see the fruit. It's the fruit they're looking for. They are hungry for the supernatural. That's why they're going to see all these occult movies and trying to get the horoscopes read every week, because they know there's something beyond where they are right now that'll help bring them peace. But you know, peace can only come through the peacemaker, Jesus himself. And you've got an answer to every problem that the world has, because the answer was here before the problem was. Now. Say supernatural. And we got to watch it, because boundaries come in our lives because of how we've been programmed, or folk that we hang around, or the preaching that we've heard. Now, I don't know where you came from, but God hit Moses' choke point. He said, listen, your people are begging for meat, tell them I'm gonna feed them meat. Now, in the middle of the desert now, no refrigerators, no freezers. I'm gonna feed them meat every day, not one day, just 2 days, 3 days, but a whole, not just a week, but a whole month. And I'm going to feed it to him until it comes out of the nostrils. In other words, I'm going to give him more than enough every day until they're just stuffed with it. So what did Moses say? Wait a minute now. How is this going to happen? Now notice what he's trying to do. Reason. And when you reason, you can only use your experiences. You can only use what you've been taught. And if you haven't been taught beyond what you've been taught in the natural, you haven't been taught much. Because it's very easy to hit that boundary of saying, Lord, what are we going to do now? See, that's you. But if you let the Holy Ghost tell you what you can do, say amen to that. So that was Moses' choke point. The Lord said, wait a minute, is the Lord's hand waxed short? And that thing hit me down in Texas. I was preaching and I got done preaching. And part of my message was on the season of the supernatural. Well, once I got done preaching, there was a lady that as I came back in the hallway to go back and you know, settle down and so forth after I finished preaching, she was crying and one of the ushers was there. Said, Pastor Winston, she's just begging to see you. She just wants to meet with you for a minute. I said, okay, she's just crying. I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, the Lord is talking to me. I said, what is he saying? He's telling me that I can raise my husband from the dead. A husband or son or somebody who had just passed. I said, when did they die? They died a few weeks ago. I said, well, where are they now? They're buried. I said, they're buried. I wanted to step back and say, let the Lord lead. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I stepped back. I said, ma'am, I said, I'm going to pray with you. But I'm going to pray within 3 days. God's going to tell you exactly what to do. Now, that brought release to her. Okay. Now, that was all the wisdom I could draw on at that particular point in time. But I'm here now. And that was day before yesterday, I think it was. And I'm going up the street playing the tape from the 9 o'clock service from last Sunday. That thing was loaded. And I said, I said in there, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, wait a minute. Where was he? Buried. Buried. What was the condition of his body? Decomposing. I better go over here. I can see some doubters, boy. I can see your face, man. Y'all looking at me like a calf with a new gate. If thou can believe, cause with God all things are possible. And then I'm said, Lord Jesus, Holy Ghost talking to me. See, he got to teach you on that level. Because there are no natural instructions for that level. You got to leave there and go to the Holy Ghost. And he is your teacher and he's ready to teach you right now. Are you ready to listen? I said, greater works. I said, the works that he did shall we do too, and greater works. Folks, I know we're going to do greater works, bigger crowds. We're going to be able to save a nation in a day. I know we're going to do greater works as Elijah did a number of miracles, but Elisha, his protege, he doubled the miracles. I'm saying Jesus did a set of miracles, but the church going to double the miracles. But not only are we going to get that, we're going to get miracles on another level. Let's go over. Can y'all with me? Let's go over to Acts chapter 14, please. I believe I got the right crowd here. Acts chapter 14. And look what it says here. Glory to God. He says this in verse 41. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. I'm a work a work that even when people tell it about you, telling you about it, you're gonna have a hard time believing that. But there are gonna be miracles on a level that your natural mind is not even remotely familiar with. And even some believers gonna be doubting, wow, did that really happen? Yes, it happened, praise God. When Jesus was raised from the dead, notice what it said, what happened? Graves flew open. What was that in Matthew, I think, chapter 27? Graves flew open and people walked out of them graves. I'm here to tell you, saints, we're about to see something in this last hour that has never, ever been in this earth ever before. I'm telling you, when I told you, you're going to be able to look at your checking account and all of a sudden you're going to have $300,000 deposited with no mistake in the banking system. God's going to create everything, including an audit trail for the money. Now, what we got to do is believe. The only limit to you getting where you need to go or having what you need to have is what you believe. I'm trying to take it up to the point where you'll believe anything. If I came and told you that I flew down to my cousin's house, you say, well, I believe that. If I, come on now, are you following what I'm saying? Get your mind open to all things being possible with God. So that when you have an impossibility, impossible won't even cross your mind. You won't even think in terms of that. The doctors say you can't make it. This one said you're not going to live long. This thing goes wrong. So-and-so said they're going to put you out of the house if you don't have it. All you got to do is lift your hands up. Drop back and get yourself some miracle faith. Just see how Joshua marched around Jericho. Just see how Gideon took 300. Just see how the woman with the issue of blood and no physician could heal her. But when she heard about Jesus, now, let's go to this last piece. Can I give you this last piece before you go? Is faith coming now? See, you got to understand, miracle faith is coming now. I'm not talking about the kind of faith that you see the results next month. I'm talking about the same day faith. Come on, I'm talking about same night faith. I'm talking about when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he went up there and went to sleep. But while you're going to be asleep, miracles going to be taking place in your account. You've got to see what I'm saying. Because it's not you that's doing the work. He doeth the work. Now, let's just look at this last place. John. John chapter 17. Glory to God. John chapter 14, 12, it says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater work shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. Now, look at John 17. Let's just close out here. Are y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
Now look at verse 14. I have given them thy word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now that's key for you to understand. You're in this world, but what? Not of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them where? From the evil that's in the world. All right. Now watch this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Say supernatural. In this, now, Jesus is teaching. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Got it? You're called salt. Three things salt does. One, salt is found everywhere. It's found in water, in oceans, some even in fresh water. Salt is found in the environment, in land, in the soil. Salt is found in plants. Salt is found in animals. Salt is found everywhere. You should be found everywhere. Next one. Now, I'm just saying that because folks have stayed around the church. Number two, salt is a preservative. It is designed to keep something preserved. And in that analogy for the Christian, we are here to preserve the earth. That we are supposed to hold back evil and keep people from destroying themselves. Salt. Third, salt. It makes people thirsty. Your presence in their environment should make them thirsty. Now, notice what Jesus said. Don't take them out of the world. He's not planning you to come out of the world. I know it's good to set up behind these four walls. But guess what? You are deliberately planted among the wicked. Okay. I knew I'd reach a choke point there somewhere. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Then you try to draw back. You don't understand. You got the blessing on your life. You're supposed to walk right in there. Are you following what I'm saying? And look at the next verse here now. You are the light of the world. The light of the who? World, not church. We got light already. We don't need no more light in here. You are the light of the world, the wicked world. You are the light of them. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that in the house. So let your light so shine before men. Come on now. That they may see your what kind of works? Good works. And do what to your Father? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. So don't tell me you can't mix in that world. When I say mix, I mean you're in it but not of it. You have been deliberately planted among the wicked. And you have in this, you if you don't want to go, then you don't have any business in the earth. Because your business is with them. It's out there. That's your business. They can't contaminate you. What the greater one is in you. It's not in them. Are y'all following what I'm saying? And somehow we want to draw back. My wife and I, before we even came in and preached, see, I caught this when I first got saved. We were preaching on the street over 3 years. We loved it. God didn't make that pulpit so some preacher will have a place to preach. I mean, why he made that? No, we're to go into the world. Come on, Pastor. Well, they cussing out there. Hey! Well, let me out them then. They can't affect me. Greater is he that is in me, man. Now, I know we got our kids and we bring them up in a certain environment and so forth like that. But you ain't kids no more. You grown folk. And now you've been trained for reigning. And when you go into those environments because of the blessing on your life and the image that's inside of you, all you got to do is start speaking. Just start speaking to it. Because the blessing on you is designed to turn ruined places into the Garden of Eden. Folks, before you know it, everybody in there gonna stop kind of cussing a little bit. They're gonna come to you for advice. Headaches, you're gonna heal them. Come on now. Somebody gonna wanna go to church with you. That's cause you got the fruit. Now, one more place. Are y'all with me here? See, we got to set the record straight, man. You got to go into the darkest places in the world. Go in there. Who up in here? You got to let devil know that he is not holding people any longer. That the power of God is now being released in him. You don't have to do it yourself. You just speak it and believe what you... Galatians, last place. Galatians chapter 5. Can I have 2 more minutes? Yes. We're trying to draw back, trying to get where it's... Okay. No, you go in there. You go in there. You got life-changing power. Folks, when you are conscious about who you are, yes. I'm talking about according to what God said, Demons will bow to you. Yes. I was talking to a man. He said, man, let me tell you what. Down here... in the city, I think it was Miami somewhere. He said, I was down here and I was trying to get some people, some mechanics who would come in to work on some airplanes, so forth and so on. And I was going to talk to him about some business, so forth. And he said, do you know, we were sitting at the table and they were all drinking and so forth and so on. He said, and they said, well, who are you with? Who is the person that's doing this and so forth? He said, his name is Bill Winston. He's a preacher. He said, they pushed the beer into the middle of the table. He said they didn't drink anymore while he was sitting. Now, listen now, I'm not saying I'm some big one, but the devil said, I know Paul. Come on. I know Jesus. And I know BW. I'm telling you, you walk in a place with that kind of anointing on you, that devil will treat you just like he treated Jesus when he came up on that demoniac. He threw himself down, said, away from us. Your days of fighting devils are over. You just tell them where to go. You giving the orders here now. All right, let's just do this real quick. Boy, I'm taking too long here. Let me just give you this. It's all good. You see, this got to be preached, doesn't it? You don't need something weak and watered down. You need something straight with no chasing. Give it to me, Pastor. Give it to me. Let me have it. Now, you always got people that don't want to hear this because they don't want to do nothing no way. And what they need to do is just go home. All right. Galatians. Galatians, what did it say? Fine. All right, we'll start here next time. Now remember, supernatural. Say supernatural. So you are operating supernaturally. That's your operation now. And look what it said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, underlying works. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envious murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. He didn't say wouldn't be saved, but you won't get the benefits of a saved life. The king is going to be hard to get the kingdom to work for you if you're working in the flesh. Say amen to that. All right, now we know everybody working on something. Say, I'm working on something. All right, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, come on, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, come on, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, now what am I trying to tell you now? The word faith there doesn't mean faith, it means faithfulness. That's where it translates, faithfulness. Faithfulness means complete or steadfast. It means to adhere to a person or a thing. And it means to one that is bound to an oath. It means loyal. It implies having an undivided allegiance to a person, to a cause, or to an institution. Faithfulness, it means constant, freedom from fickleness, and attention or loyalties. Faithfulness. God says, my covenant will I not break. Psalm 89 and 34. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23 and 19. He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10 and 23. Great is thy faithfulness in Lamentations. So I'm saying here that Satan understands how faithfulness is because well done, my good and what? Faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you what? Rule over much. So a lot of people with potential have never gotten promoted because they haven't proved to be faithful. But faithful is not something that you can do in the natural because the enemy will try to put pressure on you to the point that you will become fickle. But all you got to do is drop back into your supernatural disposition and be faithful even when other people get fickle. Are you following what I'm saying? I'll read one more. Self-control. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is the one here that brought me to conviction. Self-control. It means moderation and indulgence on our appetites and passions. It means self-restraint, meaning that somebody may go off on you. Come on, come on, come on now. Come on, help me now. I remember this guy, he had a business downtown and he and I were fairly close. And he said, yeah, he said, man, I had to let her go. I said, what? He said, man, she wasn't treating my customers that call in properly. I said, what happened? He said, well, I came in one day and caught her cussing somebody out. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, they cussed at me. I'm going to let them know. I'm going to give them peace of my mind. Well, that is not even her business. That's this man's business. But when you have self-control and temperance, people can say mean things to you, but you'll just say, I love you, brother. Say amen. Amen. Now, I have to admit, I'm working in that area. Somebody say amen. Amen. Peace. Peace. Peace is stability when everything around you is falling apart. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Now, all of these are supernatural dispositions. Where did they come from? They came from the new nature that came in you when you got born again. And all of them flow from love. So everything, every one of them comes out of love. So I'm just saying to you right now, you can go into those dark places and God can equip you with peace, self-control, faithfulness. When other people wonder, how can you stand that? You say, I'm supernatural. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for right now. All right, if you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again, this is the time to do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this moment, and as they used to say in the church, open the doors of the church. Don't open these because it's cold out there. But what we're doing is we're giving an opportunity for people who don't know Christ to come and be introduced to Jesus. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Every one of our lives, we have gone our own way. You're no different. The Bible says that we were even born in sin. And when you and I came into this earth, things were happening, and even things we'd inherited that caused us to live the lifestyle that we have. But God has a plan for your life. Now, the enemy's plan, of course, is to derail you. He's trying to get you into a place where you have no choice but to obey him. But Jesus came to set you free. This is your time of liberty. And in my life, I thought because I had gone to church when I was young that I was okay. But I soon found out that things were going bad in my life, and I was ending up in places that I didn't know how I got there. And that was because the way of the transgressor is hard. That when people are not born again, Satan still has free reign over their lives. So when I got born again, it looked like the world lifted up off my shoulder. Not only that, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, got healed, got delivered, went to the top of the ladder in sales and IBM. I'm talking about things happen. So I'm saying what he did for Bill Winston, the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. He wants to do for you. I've talked to you about the good news, about living above the natural. God has that plan for your life. So I want to ask you now, if you know in your life that you're not right with God, to allow me to pray with you, to pray the same prayer for you that they prayed for me years ago and took me out of bondage into liberty. I'm telling him the things in my life have never had so much joy and peace, and never prospered this much until I got with God, because with him, all things become possible. So if you're here today, I'm not asking you to join Living Word. You can do that today if you'd like. The biggest thing I'm asking you today is to just come into the body of Christ, to get God as your Father. Now, you didn't get here on your own. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father unless they come through me, and no one can come to me unless the Father has drawn him. So you couldn't have even come in here unless God himself had a hand in it. Well, I saw it on television. God had a hand in it. Well, my cousin invited, God had a hand in it. My point to you is that God is concerned about your destiny. So if you're here right now, I'd like to do something. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you as a simple prayer that they prayed for me years ago, and watch the greatest miracle in the Bible take place, being born again. So if you'd like me to do that, it's time to get your sins blotted out, get the guilt off your shoulder, and get a brand new life. If you're ready for a new start, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith right in front of everybody. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. And let me pray the simple prayer for you. Come right on down. Come right on down. Come right on down. Come on down. Don't be ashamed of it. Come on down, brother, sister. All right. Come on down. Come on, stand right here with me. Right.